Two scripture passages this morning, one from Matthew 7, the other from John 14, pages 885 and 984. Matthew 7, 7 through 14. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Then John 14, verse 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Robert Frost was one of my favorite American poets. I can still visualize in my mind that picture of him at the inauguration of John Kennedy as president. It goes back a long ways, but I can still see that shock of white hair and that cold and in that wind as he's reading one of his poems at that very special time in the life of our country. One of the poems that fits in very well with what we've been talking about here in the last couple of weeks about journeys and about life as a journey is the poem, The Road Not Taken. It's all about a journey, and it's all about choosing. This is what Robert Frost pictures for us, and you can envision it in your mind. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and it wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Familiar poem. And it's true. Choices. Roads to take and roads not to take. And sometimes those choices that we make, and we make choices all the time, seem to be totally irrelevant and unimportant. This morning, I went to my closet and I had to decide whether I was going to wear the blue shirt or the gray shirt. And I chose the gray shirt. And I don't really think it made a whole lot of difference. And what is it going to be? Cornflakes or Cheerios? You're out driving and you get to a fork in the road and you're just wandering around. You don't have any particular destination. It's just a sightseeing day. And you say, oh, I'll turn right this time. Last time I turned left. And it seems to be rather irrelevant. And yet you never know. How many people were there in Minnesota last summer who said, if I hadn't taken the other road home from work, I might have been on that I-35 bridge, because that's the way I usually take. For whatever reason, I just decided to go a different way, and I wasn't on that bridge when it collapsed. Some years back, I decided to take a summer school class. The only one I took the entire of my 4 years in college. And I took it because I had to. It was a course that I needed to get in to get through my program. But I met Jan there. And it made all the difference. The rest is history, as you would say. Well, the Bible often looks at life as a road or as a way. But it also says it is really the most important question of all is, which road are you going to take? And so in the passage that we read this morning, there comes the word, enter through the narrow gate. Choose the right road. It makes all the difference. Because one road leads to life, the other road leads to destruction. And it is all about this one person, Jesus. It's all about choosing the Jesus way or not. Now, I want to look at that this morning from two parts. First of all, the fact that there are a lot of problems about this idea of choosing the right road and choosing the one road in the way of Jesus. But then the second part, I want is just to call us to make sure that we have entered that gate and onto that right road. Now, there are difficulties in this whole idea of making that choice, but I want to say it up front. Before we look at some of the difficulties, the narrowness and all of that, I want to lay it out right up front that the positives of following the Jesus way and going on that road that Jesus talks about are incredible. Because if you walk that way of Jesus, you will find grace. And that is something every one of us needs. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that no one is perfect. We realize our flaws. We know that we have sinned. And in spite of that, there's a way that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say whoever gets their act together, whoever is without sin, whoever believes, there's grace for sinners on that way. And it's a grace that leads to eternal life. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 16, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Eternal life. And life in a place that is not boring. If you read Revelation 21 and 22, you get the pictures of a new heaven and a new earth, and it's a place of beauty, but it's also a place in which there is all kinds of activity going on. And if you choose the right way, you get there. Important choice. But it's not just something that's out there somewhere, way off in the future, by and by, somehow eternity is out there. But we also realize that for here and now, when you make the right choice, you have God dwelling in you. You have that. The Holy Spirit is with us and is in us. It's amazing what Jesus says. He says before, in the same chapter in John 14, he says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You choose the Jesus way. And you choose to become then a part of a family. John says, or it says in John 1, as many as received him, as many as made that choice, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, to be part of the family, to become part of the church, the body of Christ. Not a group of perfect people, we're not, but a huge blessing in walking through this life, knowing that we do not go alone. But for all of those positives, I realize that choosing to follow Jesus, to enter the narrow gate and to walk on the narrow way, is not an automatic thing. It needs to be a deliberate choice. And the call is to enter. Don't just stand there looking around. And it's not easy because Jesus says it's the narrow gate that you need to enter in. There is a very broad gate. That's what he says. He says there's a broad, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many there are who enter through it. It's a very popular way, the wide one, the obvious one, the very visible one. It's the gate, I would call it, of self-effort. Because that's the easiest thing in the world, really. At least we think it is. Self-effort. Human nature says, but I will do it myself. I can do it myself. How many little children, and one of the first things they say, they learn, do it myself. No, Daddy, do it myself. And the amazing thing is, how many people don't you see in nursing homes, people toward the end of their life, still, I will do it myself. I'm going to stay in my house. And I can take care of myself, even if my body is failing or my mind is not as clear as it, but I'm still going to do it myself. Human nature, it's right there. It's the way of almost every world religion. In adult Sunday school, the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the way of Hinduism and the efforts that you have to put forward to enter into the Brahman, to reach that highest point. Try, and you live, and you live, and you do this, and you get a little higher, and you run the wheel, and you get higher and higher, human effort. Maybe you tried that. Maybe that's the road you were on. You went through that. You saw that big wide gate that said, hey, that's the way I want to go. But Jesus says, but wait a minute. There's another gate. It's a narrow one. It's small. Some commentators describe it, it's kind of like a turnstile. You know, if you want to go to a ball game down at Knightsick Stadium or someplace, one of these, you got to go through one at a time. You go through a narrow place where that thing just turns and one person gets through. And the only way you get through is if you've got the right ticket in your hand. It's called the Jesus Gate. The question was asked by a jailer in Philippi, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is very specific. Enter the Jesus gate. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, yes, and your household with you, but you need to believe. It involves holding out your hand and saying, I will receive the one ticket that will get me through that. It's the ticket of what Jesus did, the Jesus paid it all ticket. And you hold that in your hand, and you present that, and you enter through that narrow gate. Now, I know that's not all that popular today. We say that and we're accused of being very intolerant, of thinking that somehow we have a superiority, we're smarter than other people, that we have this way figured out. And we are accused of this is all part of Western imperialism, which is a little ironic when you figure that Jesus was a Mideasterner. But the fact is that Jesus' words, as we read them this morning, are very clear. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way. And when you take that, and you enter that narrow gate to the Jesus way, there's a huge comfort in knowing that Jesus is not only one who says, I will tell you about the way. I am the way. You know, giving directions can get really confusing. If you think about walking on a certain particular path or way, we can misunderstand. We didn't hear it right. We forget a part of the directions. Get in all kinds of trouble. So, how do you, I've got to get here to this person's house. How do I get there? Well, you go down the road, and the third place you turn left. Okay, now, does an alley count for that, or is it just streets? At the third place you turn left. You go down a ways to where the roller rink used to be. And then you turn left again. Well, of course, the roller rink is there anymore, but it used to be there, and some people know where that is. And then it's the fourth house on the right. Now, do you count the one on the corner? Is that one of the four or not? You got potential for problems all the way along. How much better if somebody says, I will show you. Go with me. And when Jesus says, I am the way, He's not just saying, I'll tell you about something. He says, walk with me down this, through this narrow gate. I will be there with you. Because it is a narrow road. That's the second problem with the Jesus way. Once you're on the road of being a Jesus follower, there comes that challenge of walking what we sometimes call the straight and narrow. And sometimes that doesn't sound very appealing to us. Because, you know, Jesus is saying, there is a road, and it's a narrow one, and it has some boundaries to it. Not everything goes if you're walking on my way. Even though the dominant philosophy of our day is, hey, do whatever you want, as long as it feels good, and if you, you know, you get joy out of it, and as long as it doesn't do any really major harm to somebody else, well, they may not like what you're doing, but hey, you got to do what's good for number one, take care of yourself, do your thing, whatever feels good. And then Jesus says, but wait a minute, no, this is a narrow gate and a narrow way, a road that has its restrictions and its limits to it. And the idea of truth and any absolute is being poo-pooed today. And yet, I don't remember ever hearing that the Ten Commandments were time-sensitive. These will apply for the first 3,000 years of history, or the first 1,500 years, and then there's a sunset law, and they'll go out of existence. I don't think so. They're narrow? Yes, they are. They do restrict, but they are there for our good. Just take one example. The Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal. And imagine if that became irrelevant, and society said, totally, that doesn't apply anymore. Anybody's stuff is anybody's, is everybody's stuff. Can you imagine living that kind of a society? Some of us have seen some of that in some third world countries. I remember the trip to Guatemala and, you know, seeing how many bars on windows and how many guns in public places. Well, if there were no restraint of law, we'd all be living that way. What a miserable existence, far worse than what you see in a place like Guatemala City. But Jesus doesn't just describe truth. He says, I am the way and the truth. Walk with me. If you're walking down the road, again, I'm walking with you, walk in my steps, and you don't have to worry about the falling off this side or the big wall on this side or whatever there is. The narrow road, but I am the truth. Walk with me, and I will keep you safe from dangers as you walk. But maybe you're still thinking, this whole idea of I am the way and the truth and the life, enter the narrow gate, this is still too narrow. It's too restrictive. It's too unfair. What about people who haven't heard the gospel, who don't know who Jesus is? What about people who their whole life has been lived in a culture which is Buddhist or is a Muslim or something else, and they all they know about Christianity is a distorted picture of it? What about them? Well, I'm not going to go there today, okay? That is a question, and I'm not going to spend time on that because I'm just not going to go there, okay? But the word for today is enter. Enter through the narrow gate. That's the word for you who are here today, who are hearing this. Don't be thinking about somebody else. But what about you? Enter. Just like for Jesus' audience on the hill there on the mount, you need to enter. And I just want to say, take the gamble. Take the wager. Maybe you've heard about Pascal, the French philosopher, and he had a gambit, or a wager. He was writing about his basic beliefs, and one of the things was the whole question of, does God exist? And Pascal, as a philosopher, said, you know, I really do believe no one is going to be able to prove that God exists. Now, we don't get into all the proofs for the existence of God and all that kind of stuff. But say, look, you probably can't ever actually totally prove the existence of God, but what are you going to do about it? And he lays out the gamble, the wager. He says the smart choice is to gamble on the fact that God does exist. And he lays it out this way. He says, you know, if you live as if God really does exist, And there is a God, and he does exist. Well, you're going to gain it all. You're living God's ways. You're going to get heaven. You're going to get all the promises, all the rewards that God says about people who follow in his ways. If God exists, that's where you're going to be. On the other hand, if you live that way and God doesn't exist, well, you're not going to lose out on much of anything. You just, life is life when you're living the way you're living. You're not going to lose anything that way. On the other hand, if you live as if God doesn't exist, and he doesn't, well, again, you're going to end up where you started, you know, whatever you're living. But if you live as if God doesn't exist and God does exist, you're going to lose out on any possible gain of heaven, and you're going to face the very real possibility that there are going to be consequences, that there is a way that does lead to destruction. Now, apply that to this question of entering by the Jesus way. That's not quite the same thing, but I think you can use kind of the same argument and the same idea and the same picture about whether Jesus is the way or not. If Jesus isn't the only way to heaven and the only way to God, if Jesus is just one way to God, and you say, but I'm going to accept his way, I'm going to follow his way, okay, you win. Whether he's the way or he was one of many, you're still on the right direction. But if he is the way, the only way, and you reject him and think you've got a better way, you're going to be losing big time. It's not worth the risk. And I guess the point is saying here, let's not be looking at everybody else on this one. Let's not worry about them, first of all. Let's not try to think that we're smarter than God's word. But I'm just calling you today. Take the wager. Enter the Jesus road. Follow the God way. Choose life. That's the way it comes down to. Small is the gate, narrow the road, but it leads to life. And only a few find it, but it leads to life. Now, the Bible has a lot of pro-life messages, but I'm not just talking about it as it relates to abortion or euthanasia. I'm not talking about it as being opposed to the death penalty in our imperfect world, or supporting more money for HIV and AIDS research and treatment in Africa and all of that. All of that is part of being pro-life. But I'm talking about life as it's described, for example, in Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Already the psalmist understood some of that. And in the book of Proverbs, again, there's talking about this way of life. The wages of the righteous is life. The earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life. Whoever ignores correction leads others astray. It's the way to God's house. Jesus says, "My Father's house has plenty of room. If it were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am, where you can really live." And so the challenge this morning, if you haven't done it before, enter the Jesus way. Enter through the narrow gate. It's surprising, really, that many people choose not to, because they think it's too intolerant, or it goes against their pride, or they're just plain stubborn. But really, you know, it may be narrow, but it's a very easy way to go. What does Jesus say? Ask, and it'll be given you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open to you. Because everyone who asks receives. Those who seek, find. To those who knock, the door will be opened. The door to life. The narrow gate. Just ask.